There's a story in the Chicago Tribune about what's been going on at the Township High School District 211. 50 families sued the school district in 2016. They wanted to end the practice at the school of giving transgender students access to bathrooms and locker rooms of their choice. This conversation, I didn't know it was playing out in Palatine, District 211, Township High School. The senior attorney for the group is a guy named Gary McCaleb for the Alliance Defending Freedom. They say they're reviewing the options for an appeal. The lawsuit followed the district's agreement to allow transgender students to use the girls' locker room after a student complained to the U.S. Department of Education. So evidently a student who identifies as female but was not born that way wanted to use the girls' locker room. The district allowed that. These people sued, and the judge continues to side with that student, is my reading on this. McCaleb said his organization plans to continue objecting to the school district policy that compromises the personal privacy of young male and female students, and no child should be forced to share privacy facilities with another child of the opposite sex. But the ACLU says that, once again, they have not proven that this harmed any other students in any other way. And until you can do that, you don't have a case. At least that's the pro and con of this. That attorney, Gary McCaleb, is on the phone. Hey, Gary, it's John. You're on WGN. How are you?
John, it's a pleasure. Great to hear a voice from the great city of Chicago.
Yeah, you're in Arizona, right?
Yes, we're suffering through winter down here in the valley in Arizona.
I'm not even going to ask.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
I gave a sort of overview of this story. Is that generally what's happened here, Gary?
That's generally what's happened, but to make clear to your listeners, when you say transgender student, these are biologically male or female students who self-perceive that they are the opposite sex, or in some cases, neither sex. There's non-binary genders. In the cases we're dealing with, in the case in Palatine, what is actually happening is a boy who was born a boy, who was biologically a boy, who has not had any kind of surgical intervention to appear as a girl, is being granted access to opposite-sex facilities. That puts a boy in the girls' restrooms, a boy in the girls' locker rooms. And when you do that, both common sense and we think federal law says there's a problem here. The reason you have boys' facilities and girls' facilities for restrooms and locker rooms and overnight accommodations on trips and other things like that is because of bodily privacy. Congress recognized that in Title IX. The federal government's recognized it in the Department of Justice. Supreme Court's recognized that in a case involving Virginia Military Institute, saying that those kind of physical differences merit special protection and merit separation of sex in those facilities. So it's very problematic when you have a school district creating a policy that authorizes boys to enter girls' facilities and vice versa. It's a huge privacy concern and a direct harm to the students exposed to it.
My understanding is they don't sort of grant that privilege willy-nilly, that a student really does have to demonstrate that they are conflicted sexually, or that their LGBTQ status or their transgender status is such that they genuinely feel that they more identify with the opposite sex. What are we supposed to do then with those kids?
Well, first, there really is no requirement with these kids who certainly are troubled. There's no doubt about that. Many of them have a multitude of other psychological issues going on. But a student that comes in and says, I'm transgender, what the opposition says is, you really can't investigate. Unless there's some index that this is an outright fraud, you have to take the child at their word and give them the access they demand. And what's being demanded in Palatine is use of these privacy facilities. There's a couple important things there. One is, the facilities are not being used to protect their personal privacy in the sense that we're shy about undressing in the presence of the opposite sex. They're being used, and we see this in their declarations, to affirm their subjective perception of their identity. And I think that's an improper use of the law. It's a very unusual situation for a school to say, we're going to create a policy to support an individual's course of treatment. And I'd add to that that even if there was some system where they had to go through rigorous validation of this perception, if you've got a boy inside the girl's locker room changing, to the girl, it doesn't matter what is in that boy's mind, whether he's a homosexual who has absolutely no interest in the opposite sex or a transgender student who believes himself to be a female. That doesn't alter what the girl's seeing and experiencing. Her right to privacy doesn't turn on what's in another student's mind.
Yeah, I don't think this is easily resolved. I really don't. And I don't know that three options are necessary or practical. Did the girls at that school complain?
Absolutely. We had, as you mentioned, over 50 families, 136 students, or excuse me, parents and students, 63 of those students. And right now, there's actually another case filed in state court by a student who is male and believes himself to be female at one of the schools in the district. And we've got at least three female students in that school right now who are at direct risk of this. And
At direct risk of what?
Of being exposed to the opposite sex when they're dressing or undressing or conducting, you know, personal hygiene, using the restroom.
Yeah. The story says, though, that, you know, times are changing. And this is weird to say, but maybe that's the way in some schools for some kids it's going to be now, that you will be in a situation like that with a member biologically of the opposite sex. The point of the story was, and the newspaper we're reading here in Chicago is, that you weren't able to demonstrate that those female students were harmed or denied in any way.
Well, John, sex isn't changing, the Constitution isn't changing, and Title IX isn't changing. And if you look at what their theory actually says, they basically says to the extent there's any privacy concern at all, is their position. They say that's taken care of by the fact that people go into a girl's room or boy's room or into a locker room, and there happens to be an individual stall available. If that's true, if privacy only exists in a girl's locker room or a boy's restroom inside the stall, logically, what that means is there can be a girl's restroom and a male football coach can walk into that restroom and use a stall there to attend to his bodily functions, and it's no harm, no foul. There's absolutely no privacy violation. There's no reason to tell that man that he can't use the girl's room. And that's, in just common sense level, nonsense. People are shy about their bodies in those kind of situations.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the solution is? What should we do, Gary? I mean,
I think it's a fairly straightforward solution, and actually National School Board Association has come out and agreed with us on this point, and that is you provide individual facilities to those folks who need the additional privacy. But the girls in the restroom or locker room who are guaranteed through federal regulations and Title IX, that separation and that privacy, they shouldn't be the ones forced to leave the very rooms that are supposedly reserved for their privacy to protect themselves. The general rule is the government shouldn't force an individual to self-cure a constitutional or statutory harm to them. And again, the interests are different. Title IX was set up to protect sex and protect women from unequal treatment. In particular, it applies to both sexes. So they're squarely within their rights when they say, look, federal law provides this facility for us and we want to use it. The students who are coming in who are confused as to their sex, again, are not looking for privacy as such. They're looking for an affirmation of their psychological perception.
Well, that's judgmental on your part, and I don't know that you can. Listen, I don't have a dog in this hunt. I'm just trying to figure it out, and I don't know that it's just affirmation. I think it is, and my guess is, I mean, for instance, if you were a guy, do you want to really, you don't want to use the women's restroom or locker room unless you are wired so completely differently that feels more comfortable to you. It's not grandstanding. I think it's a genuine impulse or desire or need on the part of those individuals.
Well, John, actually, the affirmation language is not my judgment, but that's actually what is in the affidavit submitted by the three profess transgender students who intervened.
Well, I
that's
their
reason for going into those facilities.
Fair enough. I mean,
absolutely, John. These are very troubled children. They need compassionate solutions. But when you start digging into this, the next layer, and start looking at the science, there's some startling things there that ought to concern all parents and all students looking at this. Probably foremost is there is not a single, and I mean zero, zip, nada, not a single controlled, randomized study that shows that access to privacy facilities like this is an efficient treatment, an effective treatment, or even safe for the clients themselves, the patients themselves. So they're running this agenda. It's really a political agenda. It's not a scientific agenda.
How do you explain then?
Standard research to support it. And that should concern everyone, because I think it's harming these kids more than it's helping them.
Well, you make a good case. Why do you think the judge didn't see it that way?
Well, part of it, I think, has been the political climate. Part of it has been, I think, the number of changes in this particular case. You know, the federal government took one position and then corrected it and returned to a proper reading of Title IX. And I don't know. I can't read the judge's mind. At this point, we're looking seriously at our options, either continuing the case in district court or going up on appeal to the Seventh Circuit. And this is only one moving part of many. We're very concerned about the immediate impact on our clients. But there are other cases. There's the Whitaker versus Kenosha case. It's already waiting to see if they'll get review at the Supreme Court. There's a case in Florida called Adams versus St. John's County.
Does this happen that often? That's interesting to me, because it seems to me like this is an argument that everybody in the country's been having for a few years now, but that the instances of it actually happening, of a transgender student wanting to use a bathroom or a locker room, and there being no other resolution to this situation, it would strike me as being exceedingly small. That, you know, in principle, I guess we need to figure this out. But in practice, it's not really an issue very often, is it?
I wish you were right on that point, John, but from my chair, I'm getting calls for help, frankly, far more than we can help at a given time. But not a week goes by that we're not getting a call from parents or a school board who are concerned about this issue. And in many instances, to some extent, I think this is, and I don't want to, again, minimize the impact on the individual children who are struggling with it, but it's something of a fad. It's a cool thing to be gender fluid or gender neutral, and you start pushing boundaries in high school. Like, surprise, no youth has ever done that before. And it is occurring a lot. I'm getting requests week in and week out.
Really?
And it is an issue that I think the Supreme Court definitely needs to address. And I should add, I'm stuck with this grumbly voice. This is a happy voice. I'm not grumbling at people. I'm happy that we're having this debate about it, but it really needs to go up to the Supreme Court. Because what the opposition is doing is literally trying to rewrite the federal statute, Title IX, and say it doesn't protect sex, which is binary, fixed, and you can actually determine that objectively. It means gender identity, which they say is a continuum of genders from male to female to both or neither or something else, and it's malleable. And it's subjective. There is no outside indicator with any person.
And as you say that, there's people out there nodding their heads in agreement that, yeah, that old school notion that gender identity is binary, physiology is, but identity is not binary, that it is a shade of gray. And that's old thinking, what you're demonstrating there. But that's really hard to get our heads around. I mean, that's changing right before our eyes, if that's what it is, if that's what it means. And I think that's a really difficult concept for people to embrace.
Well, I don't think it's a difficult concept to go into freshman biology 101, where you will be taught that humans are a sexually reproducing species. And to do that, you need a male and a female. That's the baseline definition.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about, though. That's not what we're talking about here. I'm
not implying sex is changing because of this gender identity theory, and it's not. Mankind is not changing because you have folks out there saying that self-perception actually determines whether you're male or female.
I think it's possible that's been there all along. That, sure, you need a male and a female to reproduce, but the notion of where you slot yourself in that continuum of male to female has always been there. It's only now that we're recognizing it. It's only now that we're addressing it. It's only now that we've had locker rooms, for crying out loud.
I think we've had locker rooms a little bit before 2018.
You see my point.
And by the same token, a lot of what's going on here is the old...
Gary, I'll let you get in the last word here, but I do have to end this. So what make your statement, and then we're going to wrap this up.
It's a great time. I think at bottom, public schools, the government, federal courts don't have any business creating policies that allow boys to access girls' facilities and vice versa, because all Americans do have a right to bodily privacy, and the government has no business altering or interfering or invading that right through policies like these.
Yeah. I suppose we're going to hear more about this story since it's here in the Chicago area and you say the fight's not over. I sure appreciate your time and expertise on this, Gary. It's been really interesting.
Likewise, John. Very much appreciate the time with you. And you guys hang up there in the Windy City.
Yeah, he's in Arizona. The Alliance Defending Freedom, Gary McCaleb.